I inherited my great Auntie May's cottage and landed a job as a sales assistant at Hector's House, the local bookshop. There was still so much for me to learn about this village that I'd started to think of as home. As I sprayed fake cobwebs into the top left-hand corner of the bay window, Hector, standing on a small pair of steps, was suspending rubber spiders and bats on black threads from a series of display hooks permanently set into the ceiling. Plastic snakes writhed over spooky books artfully arranged beneath them. Billy clattered through the shop door in time for his usual elevensies of tea and cake.
"If you'd asked, I could have saved you the trouble and brought you some real cobwebs from home," he said, "and spiders."
Billy's loyalty to Hector's House was cemented not by a love of books, which he never bought, but by the illicit hooch that Hector brewed to slip into the tea of favoured guests. The cream of the bookshop, Hector liked to call it.
"No thanks, Billy. We're treating Halloween strictly as fiction," said Hector. "If we want to truly scare the village children, we'll send them round to yours. Pass me another bat, would you, Sophie?"
I had just set down my aerosol can and was rummaging in the props box when the shop door creaked open and a new voice joined the conversation.
"You've omitted to dust the upper left-hand quadrant,"
the tall, lean stranger in a plain black suit addressed me, pointing to a fine cluster of cobwebs that I'd sprayed artistically into place.
"A feather duster is the optimum weapon."
I smiled politely at what I presumed to be a feeble joke, until I realised from the stranger's grim expression that he was deadly serious.
"Trust me, my dear. I speak from experience. I've extinguished so many spiders in the vicarage this morning that I now count myself an arachnid expert."
His straggly white hair bore evidence of his morning's battle. A dead spider lay on his tonsure-like bald patch. If I were a spider, the stranger's steely grey eyes would have sent me scuttling for cover. Hector climbed down from the steps and came to stand beside me as if to provide an informal welcoming committee. When he held out his hand for a handshake, the stranger gave it a disparaging look, as if it needed a good wash and did not return the gesture.
"Good morning, sir. We haven't had the pleasure."
"Don't you believe it? I saw him kiss her the other day."
I could have murdered Billy. One impulsive kiss from Hector the previous week, when he congratulated me on winning a writing prize, was hardly a sin. To be honest, even if it was, I wouldn't have minded sinning again. Never mind if it did upset the sanctimonious stranger. I bet he didn't get many kisses. That was probably why he was so sour. With a diplomatic smile, Hector slipped his hands into the pockets of his jeans.
"I mean, I don't think we've had the pleasure of seeing you in our bookshop before. Or have we?"
He gazed at the stranger, as if trying to place him.
"I have a feeling we have met before, but I'm not sure where. You're not local, are you?"
The stranger looked smug.
"My dear fellow, I am the most local vicar you will ever have in your emporium. I am indeed your vicar, the Reverend Philip Neep. I arrived last night as the new incumbent of the parish of Wendlebury. This is, therefore, my first visit to your store."
He stared at Hector for a moment, then quickly looked away. Dropping the iced bun to which he'd helped himself from the tea-room counter, Billy almost ran over to join us.
"Our new vicar! Welcome to Wendlebury, vicar. We wasn't expecting you till the end of November."
He seized the vicar's right hand in his own, pumping it up and down in vigorous greeting. The vicar peered down his long nose at Billy, who stood at least a head shorter than him, and was scruffy as ever in old buff cords, checked flannel shirt, and much patched tweed jacket.
"And you are?"
"Billy Thompson. I tend the churchyard and vicarage garden, with payment by the hour. I've been a member of the Friends of St. Bride's these last 23 years, and honorary treasurer for 5.
The vicar tugged his ambushed hand free with a look of distaste and pulled a handkerchief from his top jacket pocket to wipe it clean.
"Doubtless I shall see you again at their next meeting."
"Oh, no, vicar. You're not on the Friends Committee, but we do occasionally liaise with..."